This is the BBC.
From high atop iBBC studios in Washington, D.C., it's Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown! The phone lines are now open at 555-0101. Now, welcome your host, Rich Hall!
Welcome to the U.S. Election Breakdown. I'm Rich Hall. 555-0101 is the number. We want to hear from you, folks. Election campaigns always follow a storyline, people, and that storyline is always hope versus fear. Do we want hope? Do we want fear? Hillary is running on a campaign of hope. But are Americans still hopeful, given that hope as a construct falls somewhere between wishful thinking and performing a rain dance? So where do you stand? Give us a call. We got a lot of big news, a lot of things to talk about this week. Trump claims the elections are rigged. Yeah, I imagine a guy who runs beauty contests would know a thing or two about rigging elections. How come the winner of the Miss Universe contest is always from Earth? Trump has said that he'll spend his first 100 days after the election suing the women who accused him of groping. So that should average out to about 3 lawsuits a day. Several of the accusers, upon being reminded that Trump's hands are too small to actually justify the term groping, have had the charges reduced to stubbed, or possibly second-degree scuttling, or premeditated sifting. One of the accusers has admitted she may have confused Trump with a plastic novelty back scratcher. Polls show Hillary pulling away to victory, and Donald is learning just a little too late that it's practically impossible to win a general election when you can fit all your policies on the front of a baseball cap. In last week's debate, Trump said that he won't accept the result of an election unless he wins. Sadly for him, everyone else probably will, including the snipers on the roof of the White House. At one point, he said, "We have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out," and that kind of made me sit up because that was a name I used when I used to be a Mexican wrestler. He also called Hillary a nasty woman, which I believe, Nick, was your nickname when you were a Mexican wrestler. I'm joined, as always, by my producer, intern, Nick Duty. How's it going, Nick?
Nasty and womanly, Rich.
Now, as a British person with a kind of an outside perspective on things, what do you make of the election up to this point, Nick?
Well, you know, I think you're going to be all right. I mean, it's just an election, isn't it? So what? We had a referendum a few months back. I would avoid those if I were you. Make sure that your election isn't just a binary choice between one option that is an uninspiring continuation of the status quo, one unpredictable and possibly disastrous option that appeals to a disaffected base. As long as you avoid that, you shouldn't have any problems.
Thanks. We're going to take your calls in a minute, folks. But right now, listen, I've got an interesting fellow on the line here. Dr. Keeley Grice is a behavioral psychologist at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. And Dr. Grice has taken it upon himself to sift through this tranche of WikiLeaked emails and see what they actually say about Hillary herself. So, hello, Dr. Grice, you're on the line. Hello.
Sweetheart, put that down. It's serrated. Daddy's on the phone. Hello?
Yeah, hi. So, you spent quite a lot of time reading through Hillary's emails. How many have you read?
Oh, maybe 45, maybe 50,000.
That's a lot. What kind of insight do these emails give you into Hillary's personality?
Well, she's a pretty cold-blooded woman, Rich. Real reptile. For instance, there were at least 36 desperate emails from people in Manila who were mugged at a cash point and desperately needed $2,500. Wired through Western Union, and poor Hillary, she just blanked them. I mean, shot them straight to delete. That's harsh.
That does not sound like the Hillary we know.
You know, she just don't give back a lot, Rich. You can learn a lot from her emojis.
She uses emojis?
Oh, yeah, yeah. At the end of every email, she'll drop about a dozen little round faces, but they're not smiling or crying or emoting. Just a cold, lifeless stare. Like a North Korean firing squad. I have to say, in my experience, I find that kind of insightful.
Well, interesting. Anything else you came across that was noteworthy in these emails?
There's a veterinarian's bill addressed to Hillary M. Bell. $3,000 for spaying and neutering.
And that's unusual?
The Clintons don't have a pet. My guess is Bill is going to spend a lot of time in the White House just sitting and staring out the window.
I see. Well, thanks a lot, Dr. Grice. 555-0101, line two. Who is this? You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Rich. I love your show.
Thanks. Who is this?
Oh, this is Ruth Ann Parks. I live at 177 Road.
Okay, you don't need to give that out, Ruth Ann. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, golly. I'm a little confused about the elections.
All right. Okay, we're here to help. What's confusing you?
I'm having trouble figuring out who's running against Hillary.
What?
Turn on the debates, there seems to be a different guy debating Hillary, and all they do is sit there and ask her questions, and she doesn't get to ask them questions. Don't you think that's a little one-sided?
Ruth, those are the moderators.
Oh.
Yeah, Donald Trump is running against Hillary.
Who?
Donald Trump.
Oh. It doesn't ring a bell.
Where do you get your news from?
Mostly.
Donald Trump is the other person standing on the stage with Hillary, Ruth.
Oh, not that big orange guy who's always lurking behind her. Oh, right. I thought that was her bodyguard or something.
No, ma'am, that's Trump. I'll tell you what, Ruth Ann, whatever bubble you're living in, a lot of us wish we could join you. 555-0101 is the number. Unidentified caller. Hello.
You think we're not here?
What?
Do you think we're not here?
Who?
Who? The solid majority, that's who? Let me tell you something, mister. We're tired of nobody listening to us.
All right. I'm listening. What do you want to say?
That's what I'm talking about. You're just peeing on my back and telling me it's raining cornflakes.
What does that even mean?
You know what it means. You know what happens when you wrestle with a pig? You get dirty, and the pig likes it.
All right, thank you. Jesus, folks, we need to thin the herd. 5 after the hour, so let's go to Wanda Pate, high atop the IBBC studio newsroom with the latest news and sports update. Wanda Pate.
Thanks, Rich. It's 63 degrees and sunny here in the Metro DC area. And these are the top stories. The head of the Nobel Prize Committee has said that Bob Dylan still has not indicated whether he will accept the award or appear at the ceremony. However, Mr. Dylan has issued this statement.
Gray flannel dwarf for the four-legged forest clown. She sad-eyed lady of the lowlands. When the good shepherd grieves, queens and kings and souls.
Certain states will also vote on a marijuana legislation initiative next month, meaning some citizens could wake up on November 9th with a Trump presidency, but also just the thing that will take their minds off it. And in sports, Donald Trump says he's looking forward to becoming president and throwing out the traditional first pitch at the beginning of the Major League Baseball season.
You know, I've got a good fastball. I'll walk out to the mound, wave to the crowd, fire one right down the middle to the catcher, and then deport 6 or 8 players from each team. I have to tell you, folks, 23% of American Major League Baseball, it's made up of Hispanics. Is that what we want, folks? Why put up a wall in the outfield and then just let them come over and steal our bases?
That's the news and sport. Back to you in the studio, Rich.
Welcome back to U.S. Election Breakdown. We've got a special guest on Skype. We have Andrew Maxwell, live from New York. Andrew's an Irish stand-up comedian, keeping an eager eye on the elections. Andrew, you there?
I'm here.
So have you been following the elections since you got to the States?
This is the toughest election of all time for comedians. Because Donald Trump is just, he's satire-proof. You know, you can't keep up with him. Usually a politician does one stupid thing, and then us comedians eat out on that for a year. Every day there's a new type of stupid. You know? See, it turns out he gropes women. So right. You go away and you write jokes about that. Next morning you wake up, he's kicked a midget.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I've tried to keep up. I watched all 3 of the debates. It's just astonishing. It's basically watching a really drunk tramp and a paramedic for an hour and a half. But for fairness reasons, they both get to drive the ambulance for 50% of the time. Trump refusing to recognise the result is insane in the context of democracy. But in the world of reality TV, makes perfect sense. Because it then tees him up for a series afterwards, what he did next. You know? And it's given Hillary a pass. You know, Hillary should have been scrutinised a lot tougher than she was during this election. But in all fairness to her, this is the first election where it's been a candidate against a contestant.
You've been up in New York, you've seen him. Who does Trump appeal to?
I've been hanging out in bars trying to find people. I was down on Wall Street, I was chatting to some businessmen. They're all Trump supporters. And I was like, why? But the thing is, you can come with your facts and figures and information and things you've memorized from The Guardian. It doesn't make any odds. What I found is with the Republicans who are into Trump, you try and stump them on a political argument, and then they just tell you the things they own. I thought I'd had these guys cornered. I guess, but Trump, you know, he says he's a patriot, but he's constantly backing up Putin. And the guy just went, I don't know, man, maybe you're right. I don't know. I got a boat.
Well, it sounds like if Trump, it's kind of like a win-win, even if he loses, because he's not really going to lose. He's got plenty of other stuff to look forward to, being rich and his
wife. He's rich. He's got a beautiful wife who can't show any physical expression.
So you don't know if she's in pain or...
Yeah, there's no way of knowing. He's got a golf course in Scotland where everybody hates him. You know, otherwise known as a golf course in Scotland. But there's two losers. Really, the person I feel sorry for coming out of this debate, you know. I mean, people think Donald Trump, he styled himself on Caesar, on Mussolini.
Yeah.
They've got the wrong Italian. The person I feel sorry for in the last year, please, feel sorry for Silvio Berlusconi.
You know, why?
Well, Silvio Berlusconi must look at Donald Trump with the same amount of awe and raw envy that Ray Charles felt when Stevie Wonder came along.
Interesting analogy.
He's doing the same as me, only slightly better.
Andrew Maxwell, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the U.S. Election Breakdown. 555-0101 is the number. Lines are open. Nick, listen, you know, people call up and say, oh, I want to hear about his policies. I want to hear about his plans. No, I don't think they do. That's not what an election is. An election is an audition for president, all right? It's all about voting for the person who seems like they'd be the best character in a movie about a president. We watch their gestures and their reactions and their human nuances, but we're not paying a whole lot of attention to what they say. And you've conducted an experiment to prove this.
Yeah, I have. I think this election is all about personality. They're not deciding because of where the candidates stand on the issues. They're just judging the candidates according to their gut feelings. We need to take the human emotion out of this election, just like out of most things in life. So I thought I'd try an experiment. What if I put their speeches through an electronic voice synthesizer? None of the persona, just the words.
Right.
You know what I'm getting at? All right, as an example, this is Abraham Lincoln.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Now, for all we know, he didn't really sound like that. But it doesn't matter, right? The words stand up on their own, right?
Exactly.
Let's try the same with Trump.
All right.
But when you look at what's going on with the four prisoners now, it used to be three. Now it's four, but when it was three, and even now, I would have said it's all in the messenger, fellas, and it is fellas because, you know, they haven't figured that the women are smarter right now than the men. So, you know, it's gonna take them about another 150 years, but the Persians are great negotiators.
Sorry, I think there's something wrong with the machine. It's supposed to stop at the end of a sentence. Let me just check. No, that is an exact quote. It's like someone reading out of a magazine that's had a ransom note cut out of it. This man could write lyrics for R.E.M. We did the same thing on Hillary. It stripped away all the humanity and warmth. You couldn't really tell the difference. Hillary, right? She lacks what, in her words, she calls the ability to consistently evoke the sympathy neuro response in my fellow humanoids. And Trump essentially has no normal sense of humour. Right? I was doing a bit of research and I found this. He published it just after the Art of the Deal. This is the Donald Trump Book of Jokes. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Trump.
Trump who?
Donald J. Trump. That's the best one.
Any more?
Yeah, I got Hillary's joke book as well.
All right.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The FBI. We know you're in there, Mrs. Clinton. We called ahead. This has been 40 minutes now. I can hear shredding.
555-0101 is the number. You're on the air. Line two, it's Carl from Laurel, Maryland. Hello, Carl.
Yeah, hi, Rich. I've been following these elections quite closely for about a year now. And...
Carl, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm completely fine, Rich. Tomorrow, it's been 3 years since I've lodged a gummy bear in my esophagus. Everything for the last 3 years tastes like grape. My question is a woman qualified to be president?
Of course. Why shouldn't a woman be president, Carl?
Exactly, but I think a lot of people haven't even noticed that Hillary's a woman. You know what I mean? They just look at her as a politician.
Yeah, well, people tend to put the achievement ahead of the person, but Hillary's definitely a woman.
Yeah, but sometimes woman doesn't mean woman.
When is a woman not a woman, Carl?
Well, look, I'm sitting here right now, and I've got some head lice treatment in my hair.
Yeah.
And it says on the instructions, leave on for 5 minutes.
Right.
So I'm using an egg timer to tell me when that 5 minutes are up.
Okay.
So it's not really an egg timer anymore, is it?
No, I mean, no, it's still an egg timer.
No, it's called an egg timer, but I'm not timing eggs with it, am I? I'm timing my head lice treatment.
What's your point, Carl?
My point is, an egg timer shouldn't be limited by its name. An egg timer isn't just for eggs. So substitute the word woman for egg, and president for timer.
All right, egg timer, woman president.
Oh, there you go, right there. I'm going to hang up now and hear you make fun of me.
All right, thank you very much, folks. Folks, don't call up here if you're just in the middle of some methamphetamine fever dream, all right? We're actually trying to have a sensible discussion about the U.S. elections. Let's take a break after this word from our sponsors.
Hello, America. Are you sad this election is nearly at an end? I know, me too. People are calling it the greatest election ever. But it doesn't have to end here. I'm delighted to announce the launch of
Trump TV!
It'll be the best TV station in history. So great. It'll have all the best shows. Remember all the shows you saw as a kid? We'll be showing those. Cosby Show, all those shows. Only on
Trump TV!
We're creating original content. Want to watch a Mexican soap opera, but without Mexicans?
Do I?
Want to watch me and Billy Bush riding around the country on motorcycles hitting on tail?
I thought you'd never ask!
Want to watch basketball when it was great, when everyone was short and white?
Now you're speaking my language, and that language is America!
You're never getting rid of me, America. Trump TV. Let's make TV great again.
Welcome back to the U.S. Election Show. Ladies and gentlemen, live in the studio, we have Dr. Jan Halper-Hayes, Ph.D., lifelong Republican and the former global vice president and U.K. chairman of Republicans overseas. Jan's going to be talking to us about why we should still be voting for Donald Trump. Please welcome Jan Halper-Hayes.
Hi,
Lifelong Republican?
I voted Obama in 08 because the thought of, I didn't know about McCain's cancer, if it was just skin or more serious, but the thought of having Palin take over was just too much.
Yes, I can understand that. But you represent Republican voters in the United Kingdom.
Technically, I was the worldwide vice president of Republicans overseas, and we're in 51 countries.
How does Trump better serve the 8,700,000 voters who are overseas?
Well, he would like to reduce citizen-based or repeal citizen-based taxation so that we have what's called residence-based taxation. Simply means you pay taxes in the country you live in, but you no longer have to pay to two countries.
Right.
It's difficult because I get asked of a country with 330 million people, you brought us these two candidates? I mean, Hillary is the worst. She's the worst of everything to do with our government. And frankly, Trump is the worst of everything to do with the culture and reality TV. But I will tell you, I can vote for him because what you see is what you get. Yeah. And with her, what you see is not what you're going to get.
Right. What do you get with Trump?
What do you... Trump is that, one, it would be a Republican in the White House, and hopefully, we would then keep the Senate and the House, and quite a few things, serious things, could be changed. Look, Bill Clinton did worse in the White House, but you had to separate his actions as a pig from...
As a
chauvinist pig.
So how can you say that Clinton was a chauvinist pig and not say that Trump was a chauvinist?
Oh, definitely I can say that about him. In fact, I was asked just before the debate on what would I like Donald Trump to say about all this brouhaha with all of these women. I said I'd like him to come out and say, I'm a recovering chauvinist pig. He wouldn't do that. But I
should
think
we be giving Trump the nuclear code?
You know what?
Should we lie to him and just tell him it's 1, 2, 3, 4? I mean, I worry. I would probably be more worried about temperament.
We need someone who makes quick decisions. The thing is that he does look at reality. Maybe not about himself.
TV.
But I don't think there has been a politician other than Bernie in our history who has been able to have a pulse on the American electorate and what their issues are. He garnered more votes in the primary in history than any other Republican candidates. And I think he deserves some credit for it. And if you go back and you look at interviews in the 80s with him, his concerns about the problems that America was going to face are consistent. At least he's focusing on our problems, where Hillary, well, I guess I could tell you, Hillary, the only thing she wants to change, because she's for status quo, is she's talking about changing the emblem of the donkey to a condom because it rises with inflation, allows for expansion, limits production, and gives someone a great sense of security while being screwed.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jen. Thank you very much. That was Jen Halper-Hayes. Time for our weekly breakdown. What are we breaking down today, Nick?
Hey, Rich, today we are breaking down the vice presidential candidates. The VP has been important ever since Vice President John Tyler took over from William Henry Harrison after he died 32 days into office. He's the shortest-serving U.S. president, but the most important in terms of pub quizzes. And we really should be looking closely at the two VP nominees because both presidential candidates are around 70 and they're not prime specimens. One of them looks like the cover of a children's book called My First Heart Attack. And the other one has already collapsed at a 9/11 memorial service, although some people maintain she was brought down in a controlled explosion.
So who are these candidates?
Mike Pence and Tim Kaine, those are the names that Americans suddenly found themselves Googling in September, much as on the 23rd of June, thousands of British people found themselves Googling the words Irish passport. Rich, why don't you talk us through the Democratic candidate?
Okay, on the Democratic ticket, we have Tim Kaine, raised in Kansas City, Missouri, brown hair, 58 years old. He's a junior United States Senator from Virginia. His previous jobs have included governor of Virginia, lieutenant governor of Virginia, mayor of Richmond, Virginia. So the guy really doesn't get out of Virginia very much. And Virginia is kind of a boring state. A lot of small towns, kind of small towns even John Cougar Mellencamp wouldn't sing about. He's boring, all right? One of those guys who probably sits at his desk and he's probably got one of those posters of the skydivers holding hands over his head. Underneath it says teamwork. Tim is boring. He looks like he'd spend most of his time as VP just riding up and down the hallways of the White House on a Segway, sticking his head in office doors and reminding people to stay hydrated. And his hobby is playing the harmonica. That's his hobby. He often travels with as many as 20 harmonicas. Here's Tim Kaine giving a speech on a windy day in Virginia. But basically, he's assassination proof because every pocket would stop a bullet. So, he won't. He's not gonna get shot, but he'll probably get beaten to death by his downstairs neighbor.
Well, on the other side, we've got Mike Pence. Mike, 57, is the governor of Indiana. He's a square-jawed, steely-eyed silver fox. If by fox you mean an animal that goes through your bins hoping to find out if you're gay. Mike describes himself as a born-again evangelical Catholic. Double the fun. He already started out Catholic, but just to underline how anti-abortion he is, he's been born twice. This is a man who's so conservative, it wouldn't surprise you to find out his penis wears a tie. When it comes to LGBT rights, he's all about solutions. Solutions to the problem of LGBT people existing. Mike is a fan of trying to turn gay people straight with so-called conversion therapy. Listen, you know the phrase, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Well, if you're that against abortion, don't take the only section of society guaranteed not to have one and try to get them into heterosexual sex.
That's our vice presidential candidate breakdown, ladies and gentlemen. On November 9th, one of them is just a botched Heimlich maneuver away from the most powerful job in the world. And that's our show for tonight. I want to thank Nick Duty, as always, my intern producer. Thanks for listening. Rich Hall's U.S. Election Breakdown starred me, Rich Hall. Also, Nick Duty, Lewis McLeod, Jess Robinson, Mike Wilmot, and Andrew Maxwell. It was written by Rich Hall and Nick Duty with additional material from Ben Partridge, Robin Morgan, and Sarah Campbell. The producer was Joe Nunnery. It was a BBC Studios production.